Paul could have escaped by relinquishing his faith in Christ. But he would not. He kept it. He kept it clutched tight. And when the moment came and everything else would be stripped away by the thinnest portion of the blade of the axe, Paul left this world holding just one thing: his faith, which he kept. And on that day he met the Lord, in whom he had faith.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to say thanks for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the iTunes store, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and get the weekly message sent automatically to you by clicking the subscribe button. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
And once again, good morning. God bless you for your attendance here in the worship service today. Earlier this week, I don't remember which day it was, but I was over to the office at Salvation Army delivering some produce from the garden, mainly a fair-sized truckload of corn and some other things. And at the Salvation Army, it's one of the sites I like for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is that their volunteers, if they know when you're going to be there, are always so Johnny on the spot to get out there and help you unload. And when it's corn, as this was mostly corn, they have this system. There will be people who stand forward on the truck bed, reach over the sides and kind of rake corn back to the tailgate, and they'll have people standing at the tailgate raking the corn off into the shopping carts that they have, and they transport it into their little cooler for their pantry and bring back, and they keep going, and in just almost no time at all they will have it unloaded while you stand and watch. And when they finished, there was one ear of corn just dead center in the bed of the pickup truck. Apparently a little hard to reach over the rails, a little far forward to reach from the tailgate. One ear of corn. And as I looked at it, one of their volunteers, a little skinny, I'm guessing 14, 15 year old girl, says, "There's an ear of corn left." And I started in my gentlemanly way that I have been brought up in and instructed never to let the ladies do the work. I started to say, "Well, let me get that." But before I could get it said, before I could say, "Let me get that," that kid magically erased the 36 inches that exist between the ground and my open tailgate. Just as like abracadabra, I'm here, now I'm here. And without ever stopping moving from that leap that carried her onto the tailgate, took a big step forward and bent over at the same time. You need to understand, this was very lurchy and filled with inertia, so her hair ran straight out in front of her because she was like this. And she snatched up that ear of corn, pivoted real sharp, and jumped out of the truck bed onto the ground. All before I could say, "I'll get that." So let me explain to you how it would have been if I had got it. First, I'd had to have swung my leg a time or two to get the momentum to get my foot up on the bumper, because it won't happen. if I don't have a little force behind it. And then I'd have had to grab the side rail of the truck and pull my weight past the center of gravity so I would be standing one-footed on the corner of the bumper. This works better if I'm on the driver's side of the truck because my left leg is still more flexible than my right leg. And if I'm on the passenger side of the truck, once I get up there standing on my left leg, before I can step to the tailgate, I have to lean on the side rail and kind of do a little hop thing to get my right foot on the bumper. But either way, which side, once I've got a foot on the bumper, I would have stepped to the tailgate, and then I might have gotten the ear of corn. But if I had lurched forward, bending over the way that kid did, I'd have hurt my back. And if I had pivoted the way that she did once she had the ear of corn, I'd have hurt my knee. And if I had leaped out of the truck onto the hard pavement the way she did, I would have sent the chronic pain in my right foot ratcheting right out the top of my head and hurt the other knee that I didn't hurt when I was pivoting. And then I would have said, here's your ear. And she was just, vip, vip. And I thought to myself, I hate you, kid. Well, not really. Well, maybe a little. Just no, it is a glorious thing to be young and strong. On the way home, there was a commercial on the radio in which this woman said in a very confident and exuberant voice, age is just a number, and mine is not listed, she said. Yeah, right. Age is just a number. It is just a number of the parts of your body that don't work right anymore. And the number keeps getting higher. The number includes your ears. My high-frequency hearing is gone. My low-frequency hearing is going. More and more, I find myself saying, what? What was that? It includes your joints, which hurt all the time. It includes I could keep counting, and the number would get bigger as I talked about sleep apnea and the troubles that I have with acid reflux. And yeah, it's just a number. It's a number of things that don't work right anymore. A number of things that hurt more than they ever did before. A number of things that are more easily injured than previously and take much longer to heal while you're at it. Many of you will remember the challenge night we held at the church long ago where I netted the church, I believe it was $1,200 for scaling into the balcony there at the old church. There were some other things that went on. I think Bill Costello earned some money by singing badly. And Nancy Griffith earned some money by baking a pie. Nancy could still bake a pie. Bill can probably still sing badly. But you'd have to do without that balcony money if it was today. Michael sums it up by saying that I get as much done as I used to. It just takes longer because I move so much more slowly and carefully. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And I want you to remember that last one especially. They all three mean the same thing. It's three ways of saying the same thing. So hang on to that last one especially. I have kept the faith. And now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give, and not to me only, but also to all those who love his appearing. Now, Paul was not exactly, or at least only, talking about age in the sense that I'm talking about age in my situation this morning. I don't think he was exclusively talking about aches and pains, though if you remember that catalog of sufferings from last week, the beatings, the whippings, the stonings, the time in the oceans, the cold, the hunger, I bet he had some aches and pains. and some ways in which his body wasn't working right anymore. But that wasn't his main concern. 2 Timothy is the last of the letters written by Paul. Now I know that Titus comes afterward, but in the biblical order, but that's only because they grouped the Timothys together. And Philemon comes afterward, but that's only because it's a different kind of letter written personally to one guy about a particular issue and not having to do with the church management so much. 2 Timothy is the last letter that Paul wrote, and it's the last because he wrote it sitting in jail waiting on his execution for the axe of the executioner to descend. And it did descend. Paul knew that he was facing, in terms of this world and our life here, the absolute end when he said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. And remember especially, I have kept the faith." This gives us an opportunity for a proper understanding of this verse. Many people get confused about it and think that they see in it part of a system of salvation by works. Why am I saved? Because I have done such a good job fighting the good fight and all of that. And I'm going to tell you that the Apostle Paul would be the very last person on earth ever to tell you that he earned salvation. Russ read Paul's words from Ephesians chapter 2, that salvation is by grace through faith, the free gift of God. You cannot earn it. Paul did not earn it. But like any gift, you are not obliged to keep it. You can let it go. You can squander it. You can reject it. You can walk away from it. And this is what Paul means by keeping the faith. He did not relinquish his faith in or his relationship with Jesus Christ. He held tightly to it to the very end. And there were lots of things that could have caused him to let go. When we talked about that catalog of sufferings, Paul could have avoided all that simply by giving up his faith in Jesus Christ and making peace with his Jewish brethren who rejected Christ. And here in Roman prison toward the end of his days, Paul could still escape if only he would just renounce Jesus Christ. A little bit later, there came a provincial Roman leader named Pliny. I have shared before how it came to be that in my senior year of high school, as an exercise in Latin, I translated some of the letters of Pliny the Elder. It was a surprise to me because he was very anti-Christian. He began this particular portion that I want to talk about writing to the Emperor Trajan, and he said, "When people are brought before me who are accused of being Christians," and that was the first part that struck me back in those days, accused of being Christian. Well, that was a new thought to my 17-year-old self. "When people are brought before me accused of being Christians, first I interrogate them, and if they won't give it up, in interrogating, then I torture them." Torture was not the word he used, but that's what he meant. And if they won't give it up for having been tortured, I give them a little time and I call them back. And if they won't give it up, their faith in Christ, for interrogation, torture, and time to think it over, then I execute them, which is the only correct way to deal with such pig-headed stubbornness. He didn't say pig-headed either, but that's what he meant. And Trajan replied to Pliny and essentially said, good job. Great program. I will make only one suggestion. It isn't enough to get them to renounce their faith in Christ. You need to force them to worship our gods as well. This is the power that Paul faced. This is the attitude of the Roman government at the time. And Paul could have escaped by relinquishing his faith in Christ. But he would not. He kept it. He kept it clutched tight. And when the moment came, and everything else would be stripped away by the thinnest portion of the blade of the axe, Paul left this world holding just one thing: his faith, which he kept. And on that day he met the Lord, in whom he had faith. He did not earn salvation by works, but having received it as the free gift of God, grace through faith, he kept it, held to it. What could make us relinquish our faith in Christ? Perhaps many things. Scholars and theologians through the ages have divided all the many things into four basic categories. The first is the very thing that Paul was undergoing. It was persecution, that you can be punished, that you can be threatened with pain, that they can take away all your assets and possessions, that they can hold you up for public ridicule and scorn, that they can beat you, that they can kill you. Sometimes we think of Stephen and James and Paul as the age of the martyrs. But the truth is, the vast majority of the martyrs for Christ that have ever given up their lives gave them up in the 20th century. Now, there's some things to understand there. There was many more of us by that time. So the numbers of Christians were much higher in the 20th century than in the first. And you had a few historical things, Stalin and Hitler and Mao and the like in the 20th century, that contributed to those very, very high numbers of martyrs. And all that is true, but let me tell you that in the 21st century, even without Mao, Stalin, and Hitler, we are on track to break the record. If we keep it up, there will be more martyrs in the 21st century than in the 20th. Good job, huh? Persecution can make people relinquish their faith in Christ, because Satan still believes what he said about Job to God, skin for skin. Threaten a man's life and see. But it is not only persecution. There is also what is frequently called the glamour of sin. In my childhood, our society not yet being ripe for the application of persecution, it seems to me that the glamour of sin has been one of Satan's main methods. He makes sin out to be fun, sophisticated. All the things that God says you should not do, these are goods that are being withheld from you. And so you should run out and get in on it when you can. You wouldn't have to think very long before you could name a couple of magazines that are devoted almost entirely to the glamour of sin, to persuading you that this stuff is fun. And you should be there. You wouldn't have to think much longer to call up a few television commercials that are devoted to the glamour of sin. This is what makes people urbane and witty and pretty and sophisticated, and you need to get in on it. Industries dedicated to the glamour of sin, to persuading you specifically that God is just trying to keep you from having any fun, and you should defy Him and get out there and get involved in these things of the world. And in my days, in my locale, many more people lost their connection to Christ for the glamour of sin than for outright persecution. Two remain. Persecution, the glamour of sin, bitterness. You know, the Bible makes no secret of the fact that we are all going to die. All man is appointed once to die and then the judgment. But even though we know that going in, somehow when it is your spouse or your child, many people become embittered toward God. And they walk away. And it doesn't even require the death of a loved one to do this to us. There can be injuries and slights and disappointments, and we become bitter about them, feeling that God has not blessed us as He ought or as we thought He would, and we walk away. Even in the church, where of all places we ought to know better. And let's just start with this confession. How many of us are messed up, sinful, fallible human beings here? Okay, yep, all of us, all of us. So let me tell you what's inevitable. Here is what's inevitable. Mark and I will butt heads. He will be wrong and I will be right, but we will do this because we are human beings. And at some point, I'm going to do something Lonnie doesn't like. And I may even injure Judy in some way. And perhaps there would even be a degree of anger on my part that makes that injury intentional. We say things we shouldn't. These are going to happen. because of our fallible, sinful human nature, which Christ is in the midst of transforming. But we aren't there yet. And even in the church, where of all places we ought to know better, some people will become bitter and walk away. And too high a percentage of those who walk away from the church will in a very few years walk away from their faith in Jesus Christ. Persecution, the glamour of sin, and bitterness. The final category is just plain old weariness. How many of you know what it's like to be really tired? This world can wear you down until you feel like you got nothing left in the tank. And many people just give up, lay down, and quit. My old friend and once fellow pastor, George, who became an atheist, in the early days of his atheism, when we were having some of our first conversations about that, one thing he said to me was this. He said, maybe there was some real and special reward for faith just around the corner, but I got tired of waiting for it. Not yet 40 at the time, and worn out. Do not grow weary in doing good, for we will reap the reward if we persevere. What could make us relinquish our faith in Jesus Christ? Persecution, the glamour of sin, bitterness, weariness. Perhaps you will think of others. But the fact is, the number of dangers and obstacles are already high enough. And that salvation that we never earned, but which is the free gift of God by grace through faith, we are not obliged to keep. We can walk away from it if we choose. We can squander it. We can relinquish it. When I scheduled this sermon, it was just as a follow-up to last week's message about the catalog of Paul's suffering, and I was just going on to the next, you know, logical place, Paul's death and his attitude at the time. But when I scheduled these messages, I did not know the funerals that we would be holding when they came. Funerals that most of you were unable to attend because of the special considerations of the coronavirus and all that. And I won't repeat the funerals, but I will tell you this. Marion Lowry finished strong, an encourager to the end. A man who sought more and more the light of God's Word, and who did not let disability and weakness and sorrow cause him to lose his grip on faith, but clung to it ever tighter. He fought the good fight. He finished the race. He kept his faith. And there is laid up for him a crown of righteousness to be given by God, the righteous judge. And not only to Marion, but to all those who love and long for the appearing of Jesus Christ. Tim Thorne finished strong. Made physically weak. Required to endure great pain. But his testimony was one of faith in Christ to the very end. He fought the good fight. He finished the course. He kept the faith. None of his sufferings or the cutting short of his life could break his grip on his faith in Jesus Christ. He fought the good fight. He finished the race. He kept the faith. And now is laid up for him a crown of righteousness to be given by God, the righteous judge, and not just to Tim, not just to Marion, not just to Paul, but to all who love and long for the appearance of Jesus Christ. And so I come to this. I say to you, whatever has happened, whatever may happen, you have been given the free gift of salvation from God. Keep it. Fight the good fight. Finish your course. Keep the faith. And there is laid up for you a crown of righteousness to be awarded by God the righteous judge. And not to you only, but to all those who love and long for his appearing.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.